Hey everyone, thanks for joining again. This is the Veterinary Republic podcast. I'm David Driscoll. This week I have on Annalise Brockham. She's an RVT. She's also one of the instructors with me at Cal Poly Pomona. And we're going to be discussing the mid-level professional topic. This has been a pretty hot topic lately, and recently the AVMA made some comments on it. And we're going to focus our conversation on an article that appeared in the March 2023 JAVMA. It's an article where the AVMA House of Delegates made some comments and expressed their opinions about the topic. And to give you some context or just a brief glance at what their thoughts were, the title of the article reads, "Idea of Mid-Level Practitioner Rejected in Favor of Better Support and Engagement of Credentialed Veterinary Technicians." So that kind of gives you an idea of where the delegates' thoughts were on the matter. And Annalise and I are going to discuss this. We're going to talk about maybe where they got some things right, where we think they got some things wrong. And we're going to just, we actually do speak quite a bit about the veterinary technician profession in general, where it originated from, where it might be going, and how to make it better. So hopefully you learned some stuff from this. Hopefully it's thought-provoking. And thanks for listening. And by the way, my editing skills with podcasts are still not where they need to be at. So this podcast is going to start kind of mid-conversation with Annalise, so you're going to hear it kind of abruptly start. And then also this conversation went a bit long, so I'm going to cut it in half. So there's going to be kind of an abrupt ending to this podcast as well. But then it'll pick back up again next podcast release with the second half of the conversation. So hope you enjoy it, and thanks for listening.
I think a lot of it also has to do with longevity in the field. There's not a whole lot of technician longevity in the field in comparison to veterinary longevity. There's not a whole lot of consistency when it comes to what a technician is across the United States.
Yeah, no, that's, I know a lot of, you know, gray-haired veterinarians, but not so much technicians.
Yeah, very few of us old dogs out there.
Yeah. I'm looking for, you know, your just kind of gut response. I mean, you are like myself, you know, we both are, you know, on the education side, but we still have our foot in on the clinical side. We both work still, you know, in practice. Yeah. Like, was this something that you were in favor of, hopeful for, opposed to? Like, what was your just big picture, like, thought?
Yeah. So when I first heard about the potential for a mid-level position, it's really funny because it's been talked about a lot more recently, but I mean, it was brought up several years ago, before I started teaching at Cal Poly, probably, I don't know, I want to say like maybe 8 years ago it was brought up at one point, just kind of batting the idea around, maybe even more than that. I have a horrible sense of time, just so you know. No idea how long it's been, but it was kind of batted around a while back. And I was really excited about it because me as a technician, who's not interested in doing management, it kind of gave me a pathway to look forward to or to kind of progress my career. Because as a technician, there's not a whole lot of upward movement in clinical practice unless you're going to go into management. And I don't want to. I've never really wanted to be the manager. That's just not my thing. You can continue your education by getting like a VTS, and you know, you can go to different practices and different types of practices. But if you're looking for actual upward movement beyond just a lead technician, there's just not a whole lot out there. So I was really excited to hear that there might be another step above it. That's not all the way up to DVM, because I also don't want to be a DVM. So I was really excited about it, and I kind of unpacked a little bit of that with one of my mentors at the time. We discussed it, and one of her concerns actually was regulation and abuse of that kind of position. Like, how are we going to regulate that position? And, you know, she could see it becoming kind of a scapegoat position where things just kind of get shoved off, inappropriate things get shoved off to this person from, you know, busy DVMs. Even if it's inadvertently, that they may not be prepared to deal with, and potentially leading to mistakes or subpar medicine and kind of the lowering of the bar. So we kind of discussed that at that time. But I was still excited about it. Yeah. Again, any chance to move upwards is always good. I think that with it has to come like she said, some type of boundaries and regulation, obviously. So that was more the conversation that was had at that time. I don't think it was ever something that was discussed at length in any way, as far as whether it was going, they were going to pursue it. This is the most I've heard about it being discussed, you know, at the level of like the accrediting bodies and things like that.
That's an interesting concern. I hadn't thought about that, sort of the inappropriate delegation of tasks to that individual from a busy veterinarian. Because even now that seems to be an issue, you know, veterinarians to technicians. There was some technicians I was speaking to last week or week before, that a veterinarian was expecting them to do anal gland infusions. Yeah. And I was like, that's not a task that we would, that we teach technicians to do, nor would I ever expect a technician to do that. And this veterinarian was pretty adamant, but that was something that they should be doing or be able to do. So I think that fits in that category.
That particular task, I don't think is, you know, super outside of the scope. I don't know what the legal scope is on that though.
I just thought it was an interest. It is, I think that tension's always there, even without this mid-level practitioner role. So I can see why that would have come up for that, for your mentor at the time, because that is even an issue right now, I think, as far as, you know, maybe veterinarians shoving too much off onto technicians, you know, as it is.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think another part of that is also the scope of practice really isn't as detailed as people would think that it is. So it leaves a lot of, in like a gray area, right? You can't, it's not feasible to list every single task that a technician can and cannot do. There's just so much that gets done in practice. I mean, to be able to list everything would be just not possible. But because of that, there's so much gray area. Like for your example, the anal gland infusion, there's nothing in the scope of practice that talks about whether that is or isn't a task that a technician can perform. And to my knowledge, I can't think of any verbiage in there that alludes to it being something that is outside of our scope of practice. But again, it's not something that's usually done, by the technician.
Yeah, no, I thought that was an interesting one too, because I would love it if a technician could do it. It would be nice, but it never crossed my mind to ask a technician to do it. Just because it always felt like a doctor thing to do, and it's somewhat, somewhat technical to do. And I don't know, but it's at the same time, we're not like, you're not going inside a body cavity or anything or making an incision. So in theory, a technician could be trained to do it as well. So.
Yeah. And I've definitely assisted with those. I mean, sometimes they're a real pain to get done. So we've had, you know, myself, the doctor, other technicians around this table, all trying to get it done. So it's definitely something that I've attempted and assisted with. But it's not something that's ever been like specifically delegated down to me. It's always been like, hey, I'm struggling. Can you attempt it too? Kind of a thing, with the doctor standing right there and us all kind of working together. So yeah, the scope of practice, I think, is a huge conversation that needs to be had, because the scope of practice, I mean, in California alone, it's not as detailed as I would like it to be. Obviously, I think everybody feels that way because there's a lot of argument as to what can and cannot be done. But then you go state to state and the scope of practice is completely different state to state. And I think I would love to see the mid-level practitioner position come around. I just think that there's other steps that need to be taken first. I don't think that it's something that cannot be done in conjunction with the development of this mid-level position, though. I think that you can work on more than one thing at a time, because it's going to take a long time for them to be able to make a mid-level position. There's a lot of nuts and bolts that go into that. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. So I don't see, I was reading, you know, that article, and a lot of the conversation was about, oh, well, all these other things are things we need to discuss. Scope of practice, continuity between states, title protection, all of these things. And I 100% agree with all those things. But I don't see why we can't work on all of them at the same time. Because like I said, that mid-level practitioner position, there's a lot that's going to be involved in that. So I don't see why we can't get started on it while we're trying to fix these other areas of interest.
And I think that's where the House of Delegates, as far as the opinion that I could take away from this, thought that it wasn't even necessary. It seemed like, well, here's what the, kind of the next thing it says. A mid-level practitioner would not be a smart solution to a workforce or access of care concerns. Rather, time and effort should be spent on resources, tools, and programs designed to retain veterinarians and credentialed veterinary technicians. Further develop veterinary technicians' specialties, help veterinary practices operate at optimum efficiency, and effectively collaborate within practice teams and across the profession to meet clients' needs for high-quality veterinary services. So it seems like they're just basically saying things are good as, or could be good enough as is without the mid-level practitioner role, that that's just an unnecessary role, that we have all of the kind of bones in place and we just need to further develop what we have.
Yeah. I think somebody even is quoted as saying they don't see why we need to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
And the truth of it is, like, okay, I can kind of see that. I do see why they're coming from that space, but at the same time, it reeks of the mantra that kind of is spoken out through vet med all over the place, which is, we've always done it this way and never had a problem.
Yeah.
So let's just continue with the status quo. And I just think that that is the best way to squash any kind of change or growth within this field. And I just don't see why we need to settle for what we have been doing and finding ways. I mean, I do think we still need to find ways to continue to make it work, obviously, because it's going to be, like I said, a while before we get like a mid-level position in there. But the times now are not the same as they were, you know, 10, 15 years ago. The amount of patients that we have to see, the expectations from the public are not the same. People don't treat their pets the same way they did 10, 15 years ago. Like, everything has in that area has changed. And it doesn't make sense to keep the same model when we are obviously drowning in that model. We're drowning. So it doesn't make sense to me to be like, oh, we just need to fix this. Well, what we have now, we've had for a long time, and it's just continuing to break and break and break. We've got people, you know, leaving the field in droves. We've got people with severe mental health issues, some taking their own lives. It's broken. What we have is broken. And so it's not reinventing the wheel. It's we need new wheels. We've been running on the same wheels for decades and decades and decades. It's time to replace them. We need to fix it and do better. We need to do better, not just for our clientele, but we need to do better for the people that work in this field. It's not about being able to see, you know, the patients we need to see and satisfy the clientele. This conversation of a mid-level practitioner speaks to the health of our people in our field more than anything else. It's not about creating a solution to the amount of animals we are able to see. I think that's going to be a happy side effect of it, but I think it's more about talking about how do we create a field that people want to stay in that has some longevity. And I think that's the part of the conversation that's really missing from that article. I think they were looking at it from a standpoint of, is it going to help us, you know, see more patients, which is always a good thing to think about, but it's not, I don't think that is the highest point of the conversation at this time.
Yeah, I think it's telling that the mid-level practitioner, like, that could be a position all by itself, but the fact that it got so tied up with veterinary technicians, I think is telling that the veterinary technician role isn't quite what it needs to be, you know. And there's some significant deficiencies there within the profession of what, you know, veterinary technicians are with regards to title protection and with regards to what non-credentialed, you know, veterinary assistants can do. And the fact that these two, you know, separate things are getting tied together, I think indicates that there's some problems with the veterinary technician profession. And now they're looking, you know, if veterinary technicians are looking at this as a solution, I think that's pretty telling.
I think veterinary technicians as a whole crave crave upward movement. I think that they want more responsibility. They want to be more involved in the workings of the hospital. I mean, these are skilled professionals that have a lot of education behind them, most of them. So it makes sense that they want to move into a position that really reflects that. Because, like I said, there is no continuity across the board right now, all 50 states, as to, you know, what are the requirements to become a veterinary technician. I mean, you have some that have a bachelor's, some that have an associate's, some that don't have either, some who have gone alternate route or were grandfathered in. So there's just this wide range of education behind these technicians, skill sets behind these technicians. And so I think because there's such a jumble of people, or even people who are not licensed calling themselves technicians, that's a whole other one to talk about too. So there's this whole jumble of what a veterinary technician is. I think it makes sense that there is a group of technicians that really want to have a position that, you know, sets them apart educationally and, you know, responsibility wise, because they've worked so hard to get to where they are. And there's really no separate recognition for that. So, and that's a whole other conversation, because that's a really spicy conversation. Yeah. That I don't want to dig too deep in.
Yeah, what irritated me within this, or what bothers me within this conversation, is like one of the solutions is, well, we need to improve the economic situation for veterinary technicians, when like a mid-level practitioner would be the way to do that.
It would be one of the ways to do that. Yes.
One of the ways to do that. That would automatically increase the value of that individual in a practice if they can see, you know, a wellness exam that needs vaccines, that's going to draw in more, you know, more revenue for the practice that wouldn't otherwise be able to be seen because the veterinarian's too busy. That mm-hmm. increases that individual's value, which then allows them to be paid more. One of the problems economically with the veterinary technician profession right now is that you can have non-certified, unlicensed individual coming into the practice with some training, doing many of the same tasks. They can, you know, set an IV catheter, they can take an X-ray, they can draw blood, they can do all these tasks that a licensed individual is trained to do, and they're not, economically speaking, that individual within their practice doing those particular tasks isn't bringing in more or less money than the licensed person does.
Yeah.
But there, and that goes back to, like you were mentioning, with title protection, with what tasks can and can't be done by licensed versus non-licensed individuals. There's all this overlap between licensed and unlicensed individuals that makes it so that economically speaking, there's not a whole lot of difference within the practice. And we know that's not true based on some studies. We know that licensed technicians bring more revenue into the practice, but not all practices buy into that at this point.
And I think that's because not all practices utilize their technicians to their full extent.
They don't. And why is that? I mean, there's this, we all want to like have more, better utilization, more efficiency, better pay. why isn't that happening yet? I mean, it's, these individuals are, there's got to be some reason that it's not happening at this point, because like you and I, we've trained these individuals. We know they're proficient at what they do. We know they're good at what they do. But there's still this issue where like people can be hired off the street and do some of the same kind of tasks that they do. And overall, the profession just doesn't economically value licensed technicians.
Yeah, I agree with that. It doesn't value the technicians
I think technicians are getting the message. So they're either leaving the profession or they're looking for new ways with which to be more valuable, you know, within the practice. Maybe that technician can do more dentals and then demand production pay for doing dentals, or maybe they can become a mid-level practitioner and get production pay for doing that. You know, like I think technicians are looking for ways with which to be more valued within the profession, to make an economically like feasible profession long-term.
Yeah. Like a true career. Yeah. Something that they can have some longevity with. So, and I think the argument to that, though, is, again, we have this scope of practice that is not specific only to technicians. So yeah, I mean, a technician can say, yeah, I'll do all these dentals and I can get, you know, you should give me revenue on it or whatever, or demand revenue or increase pay. But there's always going to be somebody behind them who doesn't necessarily have the education or license that can jump in and learn by doing and get it done.
Yeah. I was trying to think, are there other professions that are like that? Like, veterinarians get all bent out of shape when like a breeder starts recommending things to owners, or like some employee at a pet food store makes dietary recommendations. Like, veterinarians get all like worked up about that. But to have somebody working side by side, you know, that's not a professionally trained, that didn't pay to, you know, go to school and go in debt over it, working side by side with individuals like that, that you're having job overlap with, like, that's different. That's way different than anything, I don't know, maybe in the construction industry, there's like licensed individuals and non-licensed individuals that are doing a lot of the same thing. But I can't think of many, especially yeah. in the medical profession, where licensed and unlicensed individuals have so much overlap with job duties.
Yeah, that's actually a really good comparison. I like that you compared it to like the veterinarians getting bent out of shape over breeders and stuff like that. And then having, you know, us having to work alongside.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's not to say that on the job trained technicians don't have a skill set or have knowledge. They definitely do. But just a little background on myself. So I was an on the job trained technician. So I started out in the field actually looking by accident. I was going to a hospital that had a grooming department and I was going to look, you know, into grooming. And then they hired me on as a veterinary assistant. And so I didn't become licensed until much later in my career, because I came in, you know, really green. I didn't even know that there were licensed veterinary technicians. Especially the practice I was at, there was definitely none. This kind of, you know, old school little practice. So it wasn't until I kind of moved out of that practice into another one that I even knew what a licensed veterinary technician was. And so when I went for it, I went alternate route. I didn't even go through a traditional program. And so I had, you know, you get the same license, alternate route, you still get the same license everybody else gets, you know? And so there was a technician that I was working with at the time, and I could tell she was a little kind of bitter about it. She didn't want to teach me any skills or anything. She was very upset about me going through the alternate route. And at the time, I really didn't understand it. She had gone and got her bachelor's. She actually went to Cal Poly. So she got her bachelor's and her RVT license that way. And then here I am, this on-the-job trained tech. I'd been in the field a lot longer than she had. So I had a skill set, but did I actually have all of that education behind me? No. You know, I did do an alternate route program, kind of in an untraditional sense. But then after that, I was like, I really want to do more. And, you know, what's the next step going to be? And I was thinking about going into teaching at the time later in my career, but I was just kind of batting that around the idea. And I was like, looking around, I'm thinking, well, how am I as an alternate route technician going to teach in a traditional program? It just doesn't feel right. Like, I just didn't feel right about that. And I was worried that my application would kind of be put at the bottom of the stack, you know, as somebody who never actually went through a traditional program. And that's why I ended up going to the program at Cal Poly to get my bachelor's. Because I already had a couple associate's degrees when I was trying to figure out what to do with my life. Some people do. So when I went for my bachelor's and I went through that program, there is definitely a gap there, a knowledge gap, going from being an alternate route to going through a program, a traditional program like that. I'm not to say that, you know, I didn't know any of the stuff going in there. I definitely knew quite a bit of it. And, but that's just me being extra. I mean, I do a lot of learning on my own as well. There is a significant difference. And yeah, I came out of that program with a lot more confidence in certain areas that, really important areas that, I may not have had previously. So I do think there's value there. Not to say that it's such a hard place because there are so many people who've been in the field for a very long time, and they really do have a good knowledge base and a skill set because they've worked really hard. And so to say that, you know, we should deny them to get, you know, getting a license is really, it's hard to say, but at some point somebody's going to lose, right? If we want to make change in our field, real true change that is going to, you know, progress people forward, somebody's going to lose out in that at some point. And I think a lot of it's going to come down to those on the job trained technicians who don't want to go. They don't see the value in the education of it. They don't want to spend the money on the education. I think there was one state that was talking about requiring technicians to become licensed because before they didn't have like a requirement for licensure to maintain the title of veterinary technician. And they were going to be changing that. And they were giving them like a year for like maybe a year or two for on the job trained technicians to go alternate route and get their license and sit for the exam and get their license. And there was a lot of people really angry about that. And I'm thinking like, this is your opportunity to get your license without having to go through school. Like you better take advantage of that now if you really don't want that education. And I get the money part of it, but you know, the nerd in me is like, hey, the education is super important. But like they're giving you the opportunity. Be grateful that they gave you that opportunity because they could easily just cut you off the next day to create change in this. So I really feel like we need to embrace moving our profession forward. We can't argue that we deserve more pay and, you know, we want all these things, you know, better benefits, more pay, work-life balance, all of these things. We want to progress ourselves forward that way, but we don't want to change anything within the workings of our practices. And that's all take and no give. You know, we have to meet somewhere in the middle. And I think the first step is going to be continuity across the 50 states, whatever that's going to look like. We need there to be continuity of what a veterinary technician is, what the requirements are going to be for that position, as far as how do we get to that spot, you know, what that scope of practice is going to look like. It needs to be the same across the board before we can talk about what a mid-level practitioner is going to be. We should be moving towards that, a mid-level practitioner, but how do you define what that mid-level practitioner is going to be if we can't even define what a veterinary technician is, you know, from one state to another? I think that's my biggest beef with it. I definitely want that position, and I think we need it in our field for the sake of our own people. But I don't see how we can possibly get there if we cannot agree on the most basic of things and get everybody on board to have some consistency. There's consistency in human medicine. There's no reason we can't have consistency in veterinary medicine. We argue that we don't get paid the same, but we do, you know, a lot of work, and the veterinary technician role is, you know, we compare it to the RN, but our scope of practice is so different in what we do day to day. We need to have consistency in order to compare, even begin to compare ourselves to human medicine, because there's no way they would pull somebody off the street and train them on the job to be your RN. You know, they're just, that doesn't happen in human medicine. You have to go to school.
Yeah, and that's where I think, like I mentioned before, I think why this mid-level practitioner role got kind of intertwined with the credentialed veterinary technician role is one of the reasons I think is just to try to further differentiate credentialed from non-credentialed veterinary assistants. Yeah. And it honestly wouldn't be, like, one of the comments out of this article was, I'll read down this one quote, is that one reason that veterinarians can't see more patients is because they don't have enough staff members. So how would adding another position solve that issue? Mid-level providers would need support staff members as well. And then somebody added, who would teach in educational programs for mid-level practitioners? We still can't fill faculty positions for veterinary students, much less a new program. I don't think it would be that much more, like within our program, to teach them how to perform a physical exam, a basic one on a wellness patient physical exam. I don't know, you know, like being a DVM doesn't give me special powers to do a physical exam that somebody else can't do. I was trained like anybody else was trained. I think we could easily train our veterinary technicians to perform a physical exam for the purpose of administering like a wellness, you know, visit vaccines. And those wellness visits, most of the stuff that's get discussed or even all of it can be discussed with a veterinary tech by a veterinary technician, because there's going to be a talk about nutrition, performing blood work, you know, parasite flea control, you know, just very general stuff that that patient's being seen for, that really a veterinarian doesn't always need to be talking to them about. And we a lot of times delegate those discussions anyways.
Right now, I mean, in our practice, it is the technicians that are
doing during that visit. Yeah. So it would make a lot of sense to be able to trained, you know, credentialed veterinary technicians to be able to do a basic physical exam to make a health assessment on a health, you know, otherwise young, reportedly healthy pet. And even if they did, the owners chose to do wellness blood work, you know, a veterinarian could get involved at that point. But then that's something that somebody off the street definitely cannot do and cannot be trained to do. And so this would further, you know, secure the veterinary technician position, would add economic benefit to it. It wouldn't require this creation of a new position. It could be added on and solve a lot of these problems that we're seeing in the profession as far as technician utilization, economics for technicians, you know, feeling good about what you're doing, that you're doing something different and helpful and helping with seeing more patients.
Yeah.
So in theory, it makes sense. There's obviously the regulatory stuff, but that makes way more sense because it helps repair. It helps the veterinary technician profession. It addresses the you know, the patient care shortage, and we don't have to create this whole new position. Like you can do even with the regulatory things now, veterinarians can have really minimal contact with the owner and even with the pet too. And have technicians do most work. Like you said, you do most of the conversation with the owner already.
Yeah, I do almost all of the conversation.
Like I said, guys, kind of an abrupt ending to this conversation. We'll pick back up on it next time. Thanks.